as a kid, you probably like to explore different places that you shouldn't go. In a recent EPP bonus episode, we hear the story of a presence on a family farm that keeps a child from getting into something he probably shouldn't be getting into, meaning a tunnel underneath the grounds. It is one creepy story, and you'll only hear it on EPP bonus episode number 53.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to be an EPP, get the episode and all of our bonus episodes, and help keep our show on the air. Sign up, click become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a deceased brother returns to aid his sister while she fights the same disease that killed him. Unexplainable sounds occur in a school that had been used as a morgue during a disaster. Someone's playing with a girl's hair while she is alone, and sometimes pets let us know they're still with us after death by their familiar sounds. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
My pet cow used to let me know that it was still with me. Every once in a while, I'd be sleeping and I'd hear this coming out of the closet that we used to keep her in. Bossy was her name. And we'd get milk as a child right there from her.
You just kept a bag of Oreos there by your bed and just went and
I did.
Got milk.
I did. Would you like me to talk about how I got chocolate milk?
No.
Okay.
I think you're full of shit.
It's a really interesting way to get chocolate milk. It involves really kind of lubing up the...
Gross. You're so gross.
And then it's just chocolate. It's chocolate mixed with... It's delicious.
Okay.
This is how I grew up. Out on the farm.
You didn't grow up on a farm.
In the middle of Canada.
No.
Ah, yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in on the website as well, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your story submitted to our show. Those are the two ways to do it. And I say that because sometimes I get stories emailed. Sometimes I get people posting it like right on Facebook. Sometimes you want the show or you want the story to be considered for the show, it needs to go through one of those two routes, essentially, because it's too hard to try and find them here, there, and everywhere. It's just two methods, pretty direct. Then it gets into our funnel of stories,
yeah.
And that's how it works. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, those are the two ways to get them to us, through the website, through the forum there. Or not the forum, through the form, F-O-R-M, not F-O-R-U-M. And you send it that way, or you call it in at 855-853-4802. As we get ready for Halloween, always good to review that, because there's going to be a lot of stories coming in as more and more folks start to think about all the spooky shit that has happened to them in their life.
Is it bad we've already decorated?
No. Okay. No, we were kind of late on it this year.
Yeah, we usually do it over Labor Day weekend, and I know that's insane, but considering what we do for a living...
Yeah.
That's why we do it so early.
Yeah, I mean the office here is always pretty well, you know, Halloweened out, but mm-hmm. The interior of the house, I know we kind of we were a little slow on that this year, but I'm happy it's up. Yeah. And I'm happy to earlier today we were out scouting at an antique store looking for some, you know, kind of cool haunted stuff, not like haunted, but you know, Halloween themed stuff. And I found a really cool vintage skeleton.
Yeah, one of those old cardboard ones that has the little brass thing that holds the pieces together.
It was a couple bucks. I couldn't pass it up, and I just thought it looked really neat. I love those old timey Halloween, you know, things. It's like I will use that for many a years to come. I'm going to put it up here in the office. I'm not quite sure where yet. I'm looking around, but I'll find some place to hang it.
Put them on your door.
I might do that. I got to get a hook or something for the door.
Yeah.
So I can put them up there. So, yeah, fun stuff. Let's kick off the show today with a letter from Debbie. And Debbie writes into us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I lived in a house that was split up into apartments. I had the downstairs. He got sick from cancer. Or her brother and her lived in the upstairs. And I should just start over. My brother lived upstairs and I got the downstairs.
Okay.
There we go. I missed the brother part.
Okay.
Continuing on. He got sick from cancer and died. One day after everything was said and done, I was sleeping. I'd woken up by someone tugging on my blanket. Well, I shrugged it off, thinking maybe maybe sleep paralysis. I also heard footsteps upstairs when I knew no one was up there. I had a key to my brother and his wife's apartment. Everyone told me it was the cats, but unless they were 200 pounds and wore work boots, I didn't really think so. One day while doing the dishes, I would also get tugged on the back of my shirt, something that my brother would do to me when he was alive. Prior to my brother dying, there was no paranormal activity whatsoever. I don't consider myself psychic or anything like that. No one in the family would believe my experiences either. Until the day my other brother came over to hang out and heard the footsteps upstairs. He went up there to see if anyone was upstairs, the landlord, etc., but no one was there. When he came down, he looked at me in disbelief, to which I looked at him with a smirk and said, "Told you." My deceased brother made himself known to me and my brother at other times as well, making a believer out of my brother. I, on the other hand, had previous paranormal experiences, so I was already a believer. Needless to say, my sister is pissed she doesn't see our deceased brother. I explained it's something you need to be open to, and maybe her channel is blocked for some reason. I was recently diagnosed with the same cancer that killed my brother, and my other brother said that this deceased brother came to him in a dream and stated that I would be okay. I've been in remission from lymphoma for 6 months, and taking it one day at a time. I had a hard time with my last chemo session, but I know my brother is helping me get through this. I take it one day at a time. Thanks for letting me tell the story, and so glad I just came upon your show.
Well, I'm glad that remission is there and things are going better. Mm-hmm. I know how horrible chemo can be. I didn't go through it, but I watched my mom go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder if maybe the brother didn't come back just to say, hey, however this goes, there's something going on the other side.
Sure.
You know, I would feel a little better, I think.
Sure.
To know that.
That, or maybe he knows that things will go okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has something to go on and it's not so doom.
Yeah.
You know, because immediately I would imagine if you're not getting the message from the other side,
mm-hmm.
and you find out you have the exact same thing your brother just died of, that would be a hard one to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
as far as mentally going, oh, I'm going to make it through this. You know, because
sure.
you could have that in your mind of, my brother just died from it. What are my odds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he and with the brother coming to the other brother in the dream and stating she's going to make it through it. I bet that's part of it too. Of just, okay, I know she's going to worry about it, that she's going to end up like I did, but I'm going to come out and I'm going to actually tell you I know something you don't know, to give some reassurance there. I think that's probably part of it, too. So, very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. The website, realghoststoriesonline.com. That is where you can listen to some of our previous episodes and sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, get access to all those bonus episodes. 50-some of those just waiting for you. It's only $5 a month, and it keeps our show on the air. So, please consider becoming an EPP. We have a lot of bandwidth that's going to be used in the coming month of October. So we need our EPPs to please just chip in the $5 and help support that so we can keep this thing going without a massive crash to the show. Roman writes in, my story happened about 12 years ago. My grandpa owns a summer home in Schofield, Utah, which is a little mountain town on a reservoir. It's a frequented lake for fishing and boating in the summertime. The town's population at 24 at the 2010 census, so you can imagine how small this town truly is. Schofield is also frequently applied to in the 1900 mine disaster in the winter Quarters Mine, which lies in the valley right next to Schofield. The 1900 mine disaster was one of the biggest in the West and killed 245 men and left many women and children alone. You can imagine a place with this history would hold heavy paranormal activity. There's also an old school that sits in the Schofield area, which is where they stored the burned and charred dead bodies when the disaster happened. So the school has always been very active. Anyway, my brother and my cousin decided to investigate the school one night around 11 p.m. when we were staying up in the summer house for the 4th of July weekend. We were able to break into the school, leave a camera alone, which was filming the gymnasium in hopes of catching a full-bodied apparition or even some EVPs. We left the camera alone for about 40 minutes and went back to retrieve it. Since it was late and our parents were all sleeping by then, we decided to review the footage the next day. We all climbed into our tent, which was large enough for my brother, my cousins, and I. We all fell asleep pretty quickly and must have been out for a couple of hours, only to be awoken by lots of loud, childlike laughter. I eased my head up and looked to the direction of my brother and cousin and noticed they were awake and also looking at me. The time was 3 a.m. and all looked around the tent. We looked in horror to the walls of the tent. There were children-sized hands all around the walls of the tent, shaking the tent wall violently. There must have been about 12 child hands on our tent. The reason I know this couldn't have been any kids playing around was because it was very late, around 3 a.m. There was a bark, by the way, not an EVP. And second, there was a streetlight that lit up a nearby road, which was on. You could see that there was no shadows of the children's full bodies broadcasted onto the wall of the tent from the backlit streetlight. If these were kids playing a trick on us, we would have seen their shadows or outlines. Instead, there were only hands. We all sat silently in sheer terror until the hands all pulled off the tent and disappeared. Three of us didn't mention it or talk to one another till morning, probably because we were so terrified to talk, let alone move at all. My feeling is that we were followed back by children ghosts who used to... They were more than likely just playing with us and letting us know that they were there. Thank you for letting me share my story. I've been a listener for about 8 months now and listen to every single show. I love you guys and what you do, and we'll sign up to be an EPP very soon.
I find it interesting that though the school was used for a morgue after the mining accident, that it's the ghosts of children that are around.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think the children could have followed them, but I don't know. It's kind of funny. It's probably just a case of just a regular haunted school,
mm-hmm.
even though it does kind of have a dark past.
That's true. What's interesting about it is this is the concept of being a ghost child. In this sort of a situation, we hear a lot of stories where it's really sad and the child seems kind of lost and wandering and, you know, where's mommy, where's daddy? Those are very sad, scary cases where you feel horrible if it is indeed a child. In cases like this, where the kids are wandering around being kids on the other side, that's not, I mean, if you have to be a ghost, that's not a bad time in your life to get to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for eternity, to get to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
Forever and have fun and play around like that. If you have no option, and you know, I mean, obviously the wish would be for anyone to live their life, you know, to the fullest. But if shit happens and you get to be a child ghost, that'd be fun.
It would be fun, except we all remember being kids, and being kids sucked while you were kids. It's not until you're an adult that
you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've never had that.
That's true. The perspective may not be there.
No.
But If you can have some fun, this is a story where if these are indeed ghost children and they're children of people, it sounds like they're at least making the best of it.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
Going around screwing with campers. That is what I would be doing as well.
Yes.
There's kind of a brighter side to this story if you dig a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, if indeed it is really ghost children. 855-853-4802. Christy writes in, love and really appreciate all you do, Jenny, to put into you and Jenny put into this great show. The EPPs are really worth it. Both my Lucas, my husband, and I have always had experiences. One of my favorite ones is of the cat Lucas rescued. It was a very young kitten from an abusive person at a job he had around 7 years ago. In spite of sassy coming from a feral background, he was very friendly and enjoyed being around us. We had two dogs, an Italian Greyhound and a Chesapeake Retriever. Neither was shy when it came to barking at Sassy or any other neighborhood cat wandering around outside or hearing them make their cat noises. When Sassy was around a year old, a day went by without seeing him around. We lived next to a couple of empty fields for the next few days, and we kept walking around the property and fields looking for him, calling his name. About 2 weeks later, both of us were on our front porch relaxing. The dogs were out hanging with us. We started hearing this very loud meowing, thinking a cat, maybe Sassy, was trapped or injured between our garden fence and the empty field fence. Both of us were amazed that neither dog noticed the meowing or any other time. They would have barked and ran towards it. It's very obvious they weren't hearing it. Lucas walked the fence line along the garden, and there was Sassy. You could tell he'd been dead for a while. There were no signs of injury. We believe to this day that he knew how worried we were in not being able to find him, and the fact that neither dog reacted to this loud, persistent meows, that his spirit wanted us to find him.
That's interesting. I believe that happened.
Where the people pick up on the sound,
mm-hmm.
and the dogs don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, because a lot of times it's the other way, where the animals are picking up on the paranormal and the people are completely oblivious.
Right, right. You know, and I hate it when an animal's injured and it disappears, and then you mm-hmm. never know.
Yeah.
You never know if somebody else found it or not. We had a dog when I was growing up that was hit by a car,
mm-hmm.
and we lived, you know, 5 miles from town on dirt roads, and it took off because it happened at night. The dog was named Oreo. Mm-hmm. She was a border collie, and I know that was an original name, but she took off, and we were, you know, we spent most of the night trying to find her, and then the next day she had gone off in the field to die, but we went out one last time and we just saw her poke her little head up,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to get her, and she lived to be 17 years old, but she had fully gone off ready to die. And
yeah.
I hate that they do that.
Yeah, it's just their instinct.
Oh, I know, it's just weird.
That's why you microchip and then you always have an app on, and it's Find a Pet.
Yeah.
Does that exist? Where you can, like, I know the microchipping exists, but I'm saying, like, find your iPhone. There's an app for that where you can constantly... That's a great idea. I think I may have just invented a great idea for pets. It's like a GPS in your pet.
Yeah.
I suppose a GPS collar.
Yeah.
Instead of injecting another microchip into your animal. A GPS... I wonder if that exists. Where you could then always find your pet.
That would be handy for those dogs that just take off. Because there's some breeds that do that more than others.
Oh, yeah. It would eliminate neighbors wandering around screaming out the name of their pets at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and then be shocked every time the animal disappears.
It exists.
Oh, okay.
It's expensive, but it exists.
What's it, like, what was one go for?
The Garmin Astro Bundle is like $600.
Wow.
You have to really.
As much as a pet.
Here's one that's like Cabela's. It's four, but... Okay, here's one. It's a Garmin one, but it's $169, so it's not terrible.
So, it's like a collar type deal?
Yeah, it looks like it's a collar, and you have a remote, I think. Dog GPS tracking collars. I don't really
Interesting. Because there's that thing for the iPhone, where it's you lose it, you can go on online on a computer, and it'll show you, if your phone is on, where your phone is located.
Here's one. This looks almost like a Fitbit for your dog's neck. And it's $79.
Okay, so they are, wow.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Too bad you're late on having it.
I try.
Sorry.
I do my best. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Hey guys, I've written in twice now. I have a few stories to tell. Just wanted to mention something I remembered happening as a child and wondered if anyone else has had a similar experience. When I was young, between 8 and 10 years old, we built a house. It was right on the edge of town. I mean, literally across from our house was bush area. The area used to be an old burial ground. The bodies were exhumed and relocated. Anyway, my story, we moved in, and right by the back glass sliding door leading out to the yard was a pot plant. Our dog used to come in the house and always freeze when he went past it. I mean, freeze, as in stand still in whatever position he was in, tail up, ears and snarling. After, like, the dog doing this 10 times, Mom decided it's something in the plant, maybe the fertilizer or something, so she took the plant outside. Why do we continue to do this? I know it's weird, but do you think there was residual energy or something more menacing there for the dog to behave like that every single time? Also in the same house, my dad and mom were watching TV late at night. He was sitting facing the TV. She was lying with her feet over him, but still in a sitting position. Mom's a big talker, and she was chatting through the show, and Dad had not been home. He worked 12-hour shifts. She went silent all of a sudden and tapped Dad on the arm. When he looked, he saw her face was full of fear. She could feel something playing with her hair, and by the time he looked, the ponytail was up in the air. When he turned and stared, it just dropped. They both decided to ignore this and went to bed. I heard the story as I got older. My parents did not want to scare us kids. Thanks, guys. Love the show. We'll continue to support and spread the word.
Okay, that's a mental image that you can just see somebody being terrified with her ponytail up in the air.
Uh-huh. And then gone.
I would not want anybody touching me.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
A little creepy. Do I think that there is some residual energy? Probably. I mean, it was a cemetery.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And again, it goes back to, was it the bodies? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it was just the people that had come and gone, mourning the loss and the energy that was there. That would be a creepy, creepy sight.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up like right after they exhume all the bodies, and you just have like all these open holes in the ground where the cemetery once was. Even creepier if they exhume the bodies first and the stones get moved later, where all the stones are still there and just the pits are in existence.
Oh, gosh.
That would be. And it's got to be old, too. I mean, they don't usually do that to a modern cemetery. It's like, ah, shit, we should probably have moved this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's more like, oh, this is the development has come this far and we need this land. It's more valuable to put homes on than it is to leave dead people in.
I don't care how valuable it is.
Shouldn't do that.
I don't think they should do that.
Yeah, I agree. But it's done all the time.
I know it is. And I know in reality, if we didn't do things like that, that we would probably run out of space.
But I don't. I think there's plenty of space.
Really?
Have you been to Kansas lately? It's a lot of space.
Yes, here there's plenty of space. But think of places like New York.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, when you're talking like finite island,
yeah,
or something like that, sure. But I mean, a lot of times, I'm kind of baffled sometimes by that when they're moving things around like a cemetery or something where there is more space past said cemetery,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like, well, it's really developing well here. We want to put a strip mall in. It'd be perfect here. And it doesn't make quite as much sense if it's on the other side of the cemetery. It's like, yeah, but there's a cemetery there. Maybe we should find a better place for the strip mall.
Yeah.
You know, if you can keep expanding out, I say keep expanding out. Rather than ripping up the cemeteries.
Well, if they'll do eminent domain and they'll take somebody's home that they're actually still living in, why are they going to care about somebody's resting place?
They'll take the dead people, too. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Paul writes in, Dear Tony and Jenny, in a recent episode, Tony said something about maybe hearing your story read out on the radio can trigger other memories. This, along with the recent story, has rekindled another recollection of my black bag experience. On EPP 50, he thinks, right?
Do you remember that?
Give me a refresher.
It was an old doctor's bag that they found and bought off of eBay or Amazon or something.
Okay.
It was an old one. I don't think you can buy old stuff like that on Amazon, but stuff started happening and then they quickly sold it.
Yeah, they got rid of the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That was, I don't know if it was EPP 50, but I know it was a recent EPP, right?
It was.
Okay. As you may remember, I spend my time between South Shields in the UK and Kitchener, just outside of Toronto, Canada. It was a very warm Sunday afternoon in July of 2011, and I'd been out with my camera in Kitchener's Victoria Park. Photography is one of my main hobbies. After a few hours, I was feeling hot and sweaty, so I decided to return back to our apartment for a shower and a bite to eat. I set the shower to warm and soaped off the grime that had attached itself to me in the previous hours, when suddenly the hot water ran boiling hot. I swore as I jumped out of the shower, and Jennifer, my wife, shouted through to ask what was wrong. Oh, and she told me off for cursing on a Sunday. I stuck my hand under the shower water to check the temperature, going back to its original warm state, but as I was already out and dripping on the floor, I decided just to dry off and get dressed. The next hour or so I spent at my desk running the pictures I had taken that afternoon through Photoshop when the phone rang in our bedroom. We had three wireless telephones and they always all seemed to end up in the bedroom for some reason. And the second I heard the words, "my dad," came out of my mouth and I jumped up, on the edge of panic for no reason. Jennifer answered, had a brief conversation, then called me to come to the phone. As she handed me the receiver, she told me that my dad had passed away, and it was my sister on the line. The conversation was brief, but one thing my sister told me that made my blood run cold. He died at the very moment my shower decided to try and scald me. He hadn't passed peacefully in his sleep. The crash team had fought for a while to restart his heart, including with electrical stimulators. While I've always thought the shower changing temperature was his message to me, he had gone. He wouldn't deliberately have tried to burn me. Could it be he was zapped while sending me the message, which whatever energy contained to uncontrollably amplify? I also wonder, had it not been in the shower from the message, would the message have taken? Anyway, I got an emergency flight back to England and moved back into my old bedroom at my parents' house. It was only a few nights later that I awoke and saw my dad and my granddad, my father's dad, standing at the foot of my bed. My dad pointed at me and said, "You're next," before fading away. It unsettled me so much, I had to get out of bed and spent the rest of my night reading. I've always considered this an isolated incident until I wrote to you about the black bag in a recent story where a listener told two shadow people she wasn't afraid of them and that they reminded me of when I told the black bag story, who was manifesting as a little girl. I would have to try harder. Well, black bag, you almost got me with that one. I'll give you a B+. I've seen and spoke with my dad several times since, and I'm convinced he wouldn't have pulled such a stunt. I'll leave the details of some of these meetings for another time, as this letter is getting a bit long. Hope you're well. Yours, Paul S. Mabley, in South Shields in the UK, and Kitchener, Ontario.
I don't think a parent would come back and do that.
Say, "You're next"?
Unless they're just a real asshole parent, and it doesn't sound like this guy was that.
I could see a parent doing that who's not intending to be an asshole, just kind of like, "Oh, matter of fact."
But that's
"Hey, bud, you're next."
That's horrible. Why would you tell your kid?
I don't know.
I would never do that.
No, you wouldn't do that. But I could see some parents doing that. Just, you know, being oblivious to what that may cause that child to think,
yeah,
or adult to think, or, you know, next of kin, well, you know, to think.
I'm glad he was able to kind of clear that up with his dad in subsequent conversations.
Yeah.
Because that would be horrible. That's your last glimpse, as they come back as a ghost to tell you you're next.
Hey, you're next.
God.
I could see that. I could see that happening. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lauren writes in, "Hey guys, I had a crazy experience a few days ago that I immediately thought would be great to share with you. My old roommate, Alexa, had an adorable guinea pig named Carmela Penelope Fitzgerald, or Ella for short. Ella was a feisty and charming little piggy, and she was dearly loved by both of us. Unfortunately, 2 years ago, we were faced with the difficult choice of having her euthanized when we discovered she was suffering from congestive heart failure. Ella was a fighter, and we knew she would hang on as long as possible, just out of sheer love for both of us. But we didn't want her to suffer needlessly. She is still loved and greatly missed to this day. Unbeknownst to me, until a few days ago, she hasn't completely left my life, and ironically, I discovered this last Friday as I was spending time in, you guessed it, the oh-so-great conduit for paranormal and spiritual energy, the bathroom. I was going through my nightly ritual of relaxing in the bathtub and reading a book when about 10 minutes after settling in, I suddenly heard two high-pitched squeaks right in my ear coming from the edge of the tub. These were followed by a happy and very content little sound that was almost a giggle. These sounds were the exact same sounds Ella would make when she was alive and very excited. If anyone has spent time around a guinea pig, they will no doubt recognize how distinct these sounds can be. They're unmistakable. I couldn't believe my ears, but there was no other random sound that could come close to this. This actually makes sense because this was the last room of our house that Ella spent time in when she was still living. and Alexa and I recently excavated her little bones from the backyard and cleaned them in the bathtub so they could be preserved as a memento. I had experience before with human spirits, but this was my first interaction with an animal spirit. I was overwhelmed with such a happy, loving feeling that little Ella was saying hello and sending her love from the other side. I was really excited when I heard you guys talk on the podcast about hearing your lovely ghost dog, Lena, still hanging around your house as well. Glad I could share another happy ghost pet story, and I hope this brightens everyone's day. Lauren from Portland, P.S. Look up guinea pig popcorning on YouTube for more entertaining cuteness.
I did not look it up. I have no idea what it is.
I have no idea.
I've had a guinea pig.
Uh-huh.
I had one for 4 years, the same one. And they only are supposed to live like 2 years.
Sure.
And she would squeak every time we opened the refrigerator because she knew that's where the lettuce came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was very smart. She knew what to do. So I kind of get that.
Yeah.
But we just buried her in a shoebox and left her in the yard and didn't do anything afterwards.
No exhuming?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know what you would do when you exhume the animal. I'm curious as to what the memento is.
I can only think of, like, you know, those fossil displays.
Uh-huh.
Where they have everything, like...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's all I can think of that you would do with the bones.
I don't know.
I think
would jewelry be a bad idea?
Yeah.
Would that be like a... Because, I mean, people do wear...
hair jewelry. Or they did.
Well, with bones...
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I said hair jewelry. Remember how they...
Oh, like made out of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What I was talking about, like people wear, they have like little vials of like, you know, ash of their loved ones. So that is used in jewelry. I'm just wondering with a pet or something if you would... I don't know. I'm just curious.
I don't know.
It's nothing I would do, but I'm curious as to what is done.
Sure.
So, anyhow, let us know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thomas writes in... Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is my second story I've written into your show this month. I'm from Kerry, Ireland. I'm 17 years old, and I just want to say, first of all, I love your show. Always wanted to be a radio show host my whole life, and you have inspired me to pursue my dream. My story starts just last week. I was doing what every other teenage kid was doing, lying on my bed with my phone, looking over my social media. 5 minutes later, my bedside lamp started flickering. I and my dog, Max, just started looking at each other. We'd not take much notice. After some time, the bulb and the lamp just blew up. Max jumped off the bed with fright. We looked at each other again. I got up and changed the bulb and the lamp in the office area and did my video gaming. Max followed me. Just before I sat down in my office chair, Max growled at the chair. I took notice and turned on my PC. Time pasted and just passed, and I just started a computer game while listening to your show because... That's what I do every day during the summer. Max was acting funny this night. I'd never seen him like this before. Midway into my game with my friends, Max growled at the top corner of the ceiling, shortly barking at nothing. Me being paranoid and listening to your show really did not help with the situation, so I calmed Max down and comforted him. My heart rate was really high, and I just drank 2 Red Bulls. It was bad timing to drink these energy drinks. I was in a really bad state, so I continued with my video game. Nothing really happened for a long time. I soon forgot it even happened. Max was still looking up at the corner ceiling, turning his head back and forth with his ears cocked. I had to put him out because he was freaking me out. Max then started scratching the bottom of the door. Again, I'd never seen him do this kind of bad behavior ever. Max obviously saw something or someone not visible to a human. I sat back down in my office chair, anxious and confused in what just happened. Listening to your show for a long time first brought the paranormal. First came to a paranormal conclusion. Just sitting there was hard, not knowing what was going to happen. Moments later, someone whispered, "You're not alone." I froze. It was like I just could not speak anymore. It kind of makes sense to me to be haunted because if you have been or ever been to rural Ireland... You may have seen a church every 10 minutes or so on your trip. We live next to a graveyard in a very old church. I did some research in my local area. Apparently in 1973, a graveyard from the Irish Civil War from 1912 or 1916 had to be removed for a new estate for financial reasons. I live in this estate. This is my second time experiencing paranormal activity. The first time was with my babysitter. That's for another time. I'll be moving out soon, going to college. Hopefully this ghost won't follow me. I told all my friends and family, but they're a bit skeptical about the paranormal world. Love your show. It's awesome what you're doing, and thank you.
Okay, so another story where they moved the graves.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out well. I think they made a movie about that.
Did they?
Yeah, except they didn't take the bodies.
What movie was that?
That was Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. There was another one that I talked about on the show a long, long time ago, and then like everyone for the next year wrote in telling me what it was.
And you don't remember what it is.
I don't remember what it is.
No.
It was like a bad made-for-TV movie. And everybody said, oh, so remember what I'm talking about? Like, so-and-so is in it, and this was in it.
I think so.
I'll look it up. You don't need to email me about it. But I did get, like, a gazillion emails on it. And then I looked it up, and it was even on YouTube. Like, you could watch the whole damn thing.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't as spooky watching it in 2015 as it was to me in, you know, like, 1992 as a child.
Sure.
Watching it and going, oh, this is really spooky. Now, like, oh God, this acting is horrible. But anyway, I think that was a case of that where it was like a subdivision or something that was put on a former burial ground or cemetery or something. Anyway, it does happen, and it never seems to work out all too well. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it. We are there. Just search Real Ghost Stories online and you can listen to our shows. And when you subscribe, you like that?
I almost lost my headphones laughing at you.
I'm And when you subscribe, the shows go right to you. So there you go.
You got it?
I think I got it.
Okay.
I can talk today. All right, let's go to a caller. Hi.
Why, hello there. Good evening. My name is Anna. I actually called a little while ago, but I think I got cut off, and then I couldn't reconnect, and then I had to go to work. So, yeah, I don't know if my earlier message would be there, but because I got cut off, I was like, oh, maybe I should just call again. Anyways, love the show. I'm new to it. This is the first time I ever really call, like, I guess, like a radio show, or I don't know if it's like radio, but you know what I mean. So I'm a little nervous, but here's my story. So a couple years ago, I was home alone, of course. My mom had gone out grocery shopping. It was not too late in the day. I mean, maybe like 7 or 8 at night. It was already dark out. I know that for sure. Like I said, I was home alone, and I was the only one in the house. We had a dog that was out in the backyard, but like there was no one else with me. All the windows and the doors were all locked and closed and stuff. So what had happened was that the phone, our house phone, kept ringing. It was really weird. It kept ringing, and I thought, you know, oh, it's my mom. You know, she's here. She wants me to let her in to help her with the groceries. So I was like, oh, okay. And I answered the phone, and nobody was on the other line. By the third time the phone had rang, I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe it's a prank caller. And so I answered the phone that, like, third or fourth time, and I was like, hey, you know, if this is a prank call, you know, just leave us alone. I don't appreciate this, whatever. And, yeah, it kept happening. Maybe there was like a 6 or 7 time where I got fed up. Now a little backstory is our house that I used to live in, we had always heard stuff and seen stuff. I mean, this was nothing new. The phone was new. This whole ringing of the phone was new. But we had always seen and heard stuff. So, I mean, the whole paranormal spirits kind of thing was not new to me at all, or not new to us. So, yeah, by the 6th or 7th time that that phone rang, I was upset. And so what I did is I answered the phone, and I knew it wasn't my mom because we had a caller ID, but for some reason it wouldn't show up. So, I mean, you could argue, oh, we'll store 67. I'm like, well, yeah, probably. And it probably was a prank caller. But somehow I felt like it wasn't, and I felt like the ghost in our house was kind of playing a joke on me. So maybe it was, like, playful, and I just got annoyed. And so I went off on the thing, and the last time the phone rang, I answered it, And I hung it right up, and I ended up saying, yelling out in my house. Thinking about it, I probably sound like a weirdo, but I yelled out and I said, you know, if you have some beef with me, why don't you just come and face me? You're such a coward. Like, why do you have to hide behind objects? And like, why do you have to move stuff and make the stupid phone ring? And, you know, I went off on this thing, and while I was like in mid sentence and, you know, on my little high horse over here, all the cabinet, or from what I heard, I didn't see anything, but it was very clear to me. I heard it, all the cabinets in the kitchen. It sounded like someone had like opened the cabinets because they kind of creaked, and slammed them one by one. So it was like boom, 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 boom. You know, like all the cabinets were just slamming one by one. And it was really, really terrifying. It was so scary. I was at the other end of the house. So I was like in the back, like where my room is. And the kitchen and the living room were towards the front. So when I heard that, I was like, holy crap, this isn't a joke. Like, this is very real. And I also heard, like, they were, and I saw the frames, because it sounded like someone was punching the walls, like, with all of their might. They were just punching those walls, and all the frames rattled. And we had this big mirror in the hallway, and it was just shaking because of like how much pounding on the wall there was. I don't know, but it was so scary. It was so real. I know what I heard. I didn't see anything, like I said, but I did hear it. It was very, very real to me. It was definitely coming from inside the house, and I don't care who tells me, oh, you were imagining things. Like, no, I was not imagining anything. Like, it was very, very real. My mom came home maybe 15, 20 minutes after that, and I told her what happened, and of course, being my mom, she was like, well, this is why I don't want you to stay home alone, because things happen and you get scared. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, it wasn't the first time I had heard things, but definitely like not to that extent. Like, we had seen things and heard things, little things, but never, 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 never like that. Like, I feel like I just pissed that thing off, and it was just not happy with me. But yeah, that's my story. I just remember I was shaking, and thinking about it now, I mean, it doesn't really have an effect on me. Like, I know it happened, and yeah, I was so, so scared. I mean, I was shaking. I literally, I crawled to my room, and I didn't cry. I didn't yell. I didn't do anything, but I was in the fetal position in my room, and I was just, like, praying. And, yeah, it stopped, and that was it. But that is probably like the most real experience that I've had, I guess, with the quote-unquote paranormal. I don't know. I'm definitely not a skeptic. I've never been skeptical about that kind of stuff, because I do believe that there are things out in this universe that we can't explain. So yeah, but I hope you guys liked my story. I know I sounded like probably really chipper while I said it, because it wasn't super scary, like I said, but yeah, still wanted to share it. So I hope it does play eventually, and I do plan on donating to you guys, because I really like your show. So have a great evening, or a good morning, or a good afternoon, and hopefully I can call you back with some of the stories. Goodbye.
Thanks for sharing your experience there with us, Anna. That was interesting.
I love the way she was so animated and did the voices and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of the lesson in Don't Taunt the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why are you doing this? Why are you? Well, because they like to.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you have to be very careful if you're going to address it. You can attempt to go do the whole, please, you know, knock it off, you're scaring me. But when you get critical of them, mm-hmm. they don't seem to like that.
No, not much.
Not the attacking them. Just be more constructive with the conversations you have with the undead. That's the lesson for today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Autumn, and I have been listening to the show since you guys started. Jenny, I am also an empath, and have been since I was a little kid. I've always seen things and experienced things, and I actually grew up in a house that I'm pretty certain was haunted. And I had lots of experiences, but I just wanted to share the one with you guys that stood out the most to me. And if you're interested, I can call back or write back and share more with you. But this is the one that kind of has always stuck with me. I was probably about 13 years old, and my sister had just moved into a different bedroom. So I finally had my own room all to myself, and I had just rearranged the furniture. And so to kind of explain, if you came into my bedroom, straight in front of you would be my bed against one wall, and then there were windows on an opposite wall or kind of offset. And then the rest of my furniture was on the other part of the room. And then it was the middle of the summer, so we didn't have air conditioning. We only had a heater. And so the vent was closed. There was no air moving or anything. Anyway, so I had just gotten home from the bookstore, and I had just bought a bunch of books, and I was sitting on the bed with my legs hanging over the side of it, going through the books I'd just bought. And suddenly I felt what I'm pretty sure was a hand. That's the only definition I have for it. It felt like four fingers and a thumb wrapped themselves around the bottom of my calf. And they were freezing cold. And I was absolutely frozen. And I didn't know what to do at all. And then the hand started moving up my leg, up the back of my leg towards the back of my knee. And my heart started racing. And it was just this cold pressure that was moving its way up my leg. And I remember sitting there and suddenly saying, "Stop." And I felt the pressure stop right where it was, about halfway up my calf. And I said, move back down my leg. And I felt the pressure move back down my leg. And I kind of felt the hand almost waver a little bit. And then I said, "Let go of me right now." And the hand didn't even not like a hand pulling away where you can kind of feel it. It was like it just dissipated, like it wasn't even there anymore. And I remember jumping up off of my bed and running out of my room, slamming my door behind me and running into my parents' room and spending the rest of the day hanging out with my mom because I didn't want to be alone. I've never felt anything else like that in that house. My mom actually still lives there. But that one time, that was just... it was just the strangest experience. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share my ghost story with you guys. I love the show. Keep it up. I'm slowly but surely working back through my back episodes that I missed because I had to stop listening to the show for a little while due to technological issues. But I'm getting caught up. Tony, Jenny, I love you guys. Keep up the great work. Have a great day. Love you guys. Bye.
I love how when she was not sure whether or not it was a ghost, that she told it, "Move back down my leg." And it did. And then she knew shit was real. You know?
Shit just got real.
Sorry.
I bet she put her other leg down. "All right, shit just got real." And then music started playing in the background like on movies.
Okay.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one way to confirm it's something paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Ask it to move the other way.
Yeah.
On your leg. Thank you for sharing. That was a really cruel and creepy story at the same time. It's got real. 855-853-4802. I don't think I've ever heard you say that in a sentence.
I probably haven't.
And you probably never will again either.
No.
Shit just got real.
Sorry.
All right. I love it. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Recently, some stuff has happened at my house, and it's got me really freaked out. But basically, for work, I do a lot of traveling. About every 2 or 3 months, I'm gone for about 4 days. And recently, when I came back home, the second I walked through the door, it was weird. It was like I was walking into a strange place. Like the atmosphere, everything, it just felt really different in the house. And I just kind of shrug it off as jet lag, or just being gone for being in a different climate for a couple of days. But I have my own office, which is right above the garage. I keep it locked because I have a couple samurai swords and other stuff in there that I don't want. I have a 13-month-old, and I don't want her accidentally going in there and getting hurt or anything. So I keep it locked. Well, when I went to put up my laptop and everything in my office, it had this really putrid smell, like I had left food or something in there, and there was nothing in there, but it was just a nasty, like, decay smell. Well, 2 days later, I'm bringing laundry into my daughter's room. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I see a Ouija board on her desk, and I just flipped out because I've just heard y'all talk about this recently and everything, and I asked her, where did she get it? Why did she have it? I mean, I've never talked about it. I never thought it was something she would ever mess around with, but she had a couple friends over while I was gone, and they played with it and try to talk to ghosts and interact, and I'm thinking it has to have something to do with that. But 3 nights ago, I was woken up because my dog was growling towards the hall. So I walked down the hall, I turned the lights in the living room and the kitchen, looked around, looked in the backyard, but I caught a whiff of that odor again. And it's really, really, I don't know what to do. I really don't know if I should call like a priest or someone to come to the house or anybody like that. But the last things that have happened, the other things that have happened recently was I put my daughter down for a nap and decided to take a quick bath. And her room is right next to the bathroom. I had the door open. Well, I was in the tub, and in the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow go down the hall. And then I heard her wake up and start crying. I went in there, and she was sitting up holding on to the railing of her bed, but she was crying. And she, normally, she'll whimper and lay down. She doesn't normally get up like that unless she's been up for a while. So that also really freaks me out. My wife told me that she thought I was in my computer room a couple days ago because when she drove up, she thought she saw me looking out the window, and I wasn't home, so I told her to call the police. The police came, our alarm system and everything was still working, so I have no idea. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to call, but I think that board, something happened with that. They probably let something in, and I don't know what to do about it. If you want to call me back, by all means, please do. But thank you.
Well, I think only time will tell on that one.
Standard operating practice here. If you have something going on for a ghost, don't try and interact with it. You know, instruct your daughter not to try and interact with it.
Yeah.
Of course, you can always take the route of if there's something going on and asking it to leave.
But even though that technically is...
That is interacting.
It is, but you're kind of... That's like the only one that we...
Yeah. Recommend. Would somewhat say maybe try that if you so want to.
Yeah. But I think only time's going to tell if something was actually really brought in by the Ouija board or not.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Probably.
You think something's been brought in here?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, just because, you know, of the timing,
mm-hmm.
something's all of a sudden happening.
Yeah. Keep us posted.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone else would like to offer some advice up, you can always do it on our forum section on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So that might be a good place to get some different opinions,
yeah.
Different ideas on how to handle that situation, but keep us informed as to what's going on. Ouija Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we do it.
This is why we do what we do.
And hopefully, we'll prevent another situation like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll be aware before the Ouija comes into the house.
Yeah.
We need posters.
Posters.
We can go put them up on coffee shops, you know, like hipster coffee shops. I bet they'd dig that.
They probably would.
855-853-4802, our phone number. Please share your ghost stories with us. And of course, if you like the show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP. It's an extra podcast person. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, and you're keeping our show on the air. It's only $5 a month. Click become an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.